I suppose that most of you have heard that Rita Lemming's brother passed away this past week, and I'll be conducting his funeral. It'll be out at the Tippecanoe New Memory Gardens in the mausoleum, and if any of you would like to come out, I'm sure it'd be an encouragement to Rita. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, Luke 17, page 1100 in your King James Scofield Bible, Luke 17. And follow along in your Bibles. I'm going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, beginning in verse number 22. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part of under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be up on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Let's bow in a word of prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had in this service, and now we come to the preaching of your word. I pray that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray that you'll give me the attention of all those that are here so they might listen to the message. I pray you might save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in each and every one of our hearts. Bless your word. Thank you, your promise, it will not return void. So empower me to preach it now and the folks to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus gave to his disciples and to us many signs that would appear in our world to let us know that his return is getting very close. It's hard to watch the news, read magazines and newspapers, or listen to the radio that our generation in which we are living are seeing some of these signs come to pass. For instance, Jesus said that just prior to his return, there would be famines in the world. Well, there's no famine in America at this present time, but we ought to thank God for that. Another thing is that the Bible says that there would be many earthquakes when his return is getting close. I heard some time ago that in the 20th century that we've just come through a few years ago, that in that century, there were more earthquakes in the 20th century than in all previous centuries combined. How true is the word of God? Look at Luke 17 and verse 26 again with me. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. God said to Noah, I want you to build a great ship. A ship so big that it'll hold all the species of animals that I have created and that you have given names to. And when you get finished doing that, I want you to gather up your family, have them get into the ark, and then, Noah, I want you to get into the ark. When you are all safe in the ark, I will shut the door. And then it's going to begin to rain, and it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. You got any questions, Noah? Yes, sir. I've got a lot of questions. One question is, what is rain? I'm sure God explained what rain was to Noah because, you see, it had never rained upon the earth as of yet. I'm sure old Noah, at least in his mind, was thinking, It just doesn't make any sense to build a great ship out here where there isn't any water, and then water's going to fall from heaven, and it's going to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. I sure don't understand that. But I know one thing for sure. I better do exactly what God says to me to do. And he did. Noah and his family started building this great ship. He builded it in the daytime and he preached in the nighttime. And in the nighttime he preached, judgment is coming. Repent and turn to the Lord and be saved. After the flood receded, God promised Noah that he would never again destroy the entire world by a flood. But he didn't promise he would never destroy the world again. In fact, look with me to 2 Peter. We're going to be looking at several verses now, so I hope you have your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3, page 1319, and verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We now have, dear folks, the weapons in our world today to destroy the world by fire. It is now possible. Now, that wouldn't have been possible 100 years ago, but it is possible today. Jesus warned that in the last days, nation shall rise against nation, Matthew 24 and verse 7. I don't know if you watch Bill O'Reilly or not on Fox Channel. I watch him as often as I can. Sometimes I say amen to what he says, and other times I say oh me to what he says. He is way off base when he starts talking about religion. He doesn't know anything about it. But one thing that he states regularly, and that is that the governments of this world need to be concerned about the number one problem in the world today. And he says the number one problem in the world is the fast approaching of World War III. All over the world, people who live together in peace are fighting and killing one another. We see that up on many of the streets in our larger cities, and today in many of our smaller cities likewise. The Bible tells us that we are caught up in a spiritual warfare between the forces of God and the forces of the devil. You and I are caught up in a terrible spiritual warfare. It is not a warfare in which we can use man-made weapons. We cannot use guns to settle this war. The Apostle Paul wrote that as the world draws to a close, the mystery of iniquity will dominate. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1272 in your Scofield Bible. And look with me at verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity is talking about lawlessness. And the Bible says as we about to approach the return of Christ, there's going to be lawlessness in every city of the world and every country of the world. Can we deny that? We see that this very day. Every form of perversion that human history has ever thought about is being practiced today. Sexual immorality is everywhere. On television, we see some very weird things anymore, supernatural things. There are sex channels, homosexual channels, nudity channels. There are weird religious channels, you name it. And it's on the television screens in our homes today. Dear folks, there is a limit to God's patience. I want you to look what God said way back in the book of Genesis, if you'll turn back there, please, concerning the times in which we live. Genesis chapter 6, right at the front of the Bible, and then keep something in that area because we're going to go move around some other scriptures, but we'll always come back. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. In other words, God says, I will not always put up with this. My patience will run out. Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch, the man who walked with God. Look there in Genesis chapter 5, right across the page there, Genesis 5. And look at verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch went to heaven without ever dying. And Noah was the grandson of Methuselah, whose name means, then shall it come. When Methuselah, a righteous man, died, the flood came. God stayed his hand of judgment till Methuselah died. Noah, the son of Lamech, was a righteous man. He lived a holy life, and he obeyed the rules that God had set down for him. Look again in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. Think of it, dear folks, a mere man walking with God. Noah was a man of great faith. He believed what God said. God had a job for Noah to do. And God said, Noah, I want you to build a ship 459 feet long, 79 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make it several stories high. On the top, on the top of the rim, put a window for light to get in. And then make one door on the side of the ship. Let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 6 and beginning in verse number 13. Genesis 6 and verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set on the side thereof, with lower, second, third stories shalt thou make it. So Noah began his work. He announced to the people that they needed to repent of their sins and that they needed to turn to God because God was going to judge them very soon. He invited all of them to come into the ark and be saved from that awful judgment. But they wouldn't come in because they didn't believe his message about a flood. It's just like today. People don't believe a message. God's going to destroy this world with fire one of these days. It was a great test of Noah's faith. Noah kept on preaching repentance. Come to God, come into the ark and be saved. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the whole world's going to be destroyed, and you will be destroyed with it. Please, please come into the ark. After Noah had built most of the ship, in 7 days, the rain's going to start. Look in Genesis 7 and verse number 4. For yet 6 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Dear folks, please notice the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. He gave them 7 more days to repent. He had already given them 120 years, and now he gives them 7 more days. God gave them one last chance to repent. And God's giving our nation, I think, one last chance to repent. And if we don't repent, judgment is going to fall. So God gave him one last chance. The very same reason that he's not come back yet is the same as in those days. Go back to 2 Peter again, chapter 3. God gave them one last chance to repent. He's doing the same today. You know why God does that? The very same reason Christ hasn't returned to this earth yet. 2 Peter chapter 3, page 1319. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now notice, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God had extended his love and his mercy and his righteousness in every way possible, and they still rejected it all. Back to Genesis and the 7th chapter. And look at verse number 1, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I want you to notice it was a personal invitation. And Jesus has given to you and me a personal invitation. Keeping your finger there in Genesis, go back to John's Gospel in the New Testament. John's Gospel and the 5th chapter. John chapter 5 and verse 24, page 1121. John 5, verse 24. The Lord is speaking, and he says in verse number 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Have you ever received God's offer of salvation? If not, I plead with you, time is getting short, judgment is coming. You need to put your faith and trust in him today. God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. God loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish. And he extends his love of forgiveness to you because of the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest demonstration of love that has ever been shown was when Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. God says, if you'll repent of your sins and receive my Son as your Savior, you can be saved on that great day of judgment. Look again at John's gospel with me, please. Go to John chapter 1 this time. The gospel of John, John's gospel. And notice the first chapter and verse number 12. That'll be on page 1114. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Judgment is coming. There's no doubt about it. There will be a judgment day. All of us are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of what we did with Jesus Christ and how we lived on this earth. There's going to be a judgment for believers, the judgment seat of Christ, where rewards are going to be handed out to those who deserve it and to those who have lived the way they're supposed to live, a judgment for believers. The Bible says that God shut the door of the ark. Noah didn't shut it. God shut it. Noah had done all God commanded him to do. He had finished his work. He had braved all the insults. Salvation was totally up to God, and there was only one door into the ark, and the day came when God shut the door. Go back to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And look at verse number 16 with me, page number 15. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Just as there was only one door into Noah's ark and only one way to get in through that door, there's only one door to get into heaven. Go back to the New Testament again, to John again, this time to the 10th chapter, John chapter 10. I'll give you the page number in just a moment. John's Gospel. The 10th chapter, that'll be on page number 1129 of your Scofield Bible, 1129. John chapter 10, look at verse 1 and 2. Again, the Lord is speaking, "And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door under the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Drop down to verse number 9. Again, the Lord is speaking, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Well, when's the end going to be? We don't know. And we're not to speculate about dates. It may be 5,000 years from now, or it may be 5 minutes from now. We just don't know. But looking at the many signs that we are given to show the general time of Christ's return, we have to say it's getting very close. Now, does that mean that we can take it easy and stop serving the Lord? Does that mean that preachers can stop preaching and teachers can stop teaching and just take it easy because Christ is coming soon? Does that mean that we don't have to be faithful to church attendance anymore? Absolutely not. It means we'll work harder, teach harder, witness harder, pray harder. Dear folks, the problem in America today is not the war over in the Middle East. It's not the economy. It is sin. It's the immorality of our day. It's the moral climate of our day. I believe those who believe in the coming of Christ are the ones who work the hardest. The people who are expecting Christ to return at any moment are usually more zealous, more dedicated, harder workers, because Scripture tells us that we're to purify ourselves, to serve God with patience, and to work, because the night is coming when no man can work. It's not the time to quit. I may be past retirement age in most companies, but not in God's business, I'm not. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give in. It's not time to quit teaching those little ones downstairs. Don't quit singing in the choir about our Lord. Don't stop doing those great specials like Jay's this morning about our Lord. Don't quit serving. And if you have stopped serving the Lord, re-enlist. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. The Bible says he will come in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52. That's about 1/1000th of a second. That's how quickly Jesus is going to come. Our world is filled today with groans, groans for redemption, for the physical order, groans for freedom, groans for wholeness, groans for liberation, groans for food, groans for shelters for the homeless people. All over the world, people are groaning, but God offers hope. Jesus is preparing a place for us right now, and you can go to heaven if you'll put your confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Revelation, please. The last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter, next to the last chapter. Revelation 21, page 1351. Revelation chapter 21. And look at verse number 4 with me, please. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We have in the ark with God. Maybe you find yourself like the people that the prophet Joel mentioned in his prophecy. Turn with me back to the end of the Old Testament, to the book of Joel. Now, I'm sure most of you didn't know there was a book in the Bible by that name. But there is. It's on page 933 of your Scoville Bible. Joel chapter 3. And look at verse number 14 with me, please. Joel 3:14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the Lord, day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Are you in the valley of decision this morning? If so, what are you going to do about it? You may say, well, what do I need to do? First of all, you need to repent. That's so important. That's absolutely a necessity. Repentance means I'm sorry I've sinned against a holy God. Then look to Christ and his finished works on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And by simple childlike faith, receive him into your heart and life. And once you have done this, turn your life over completely to him. Let him rule your life and serve him with all your heart. Let me close with this verse in Acts chapter 2 that we read a few moments ago. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, page 1151. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, you can put your name there, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon him to save you? If not, you better not put it off, because judgment is coming soon and the door is going to be shut very soon. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what took place back in Noah's day and that we're seeing it repeated in our day, which has to tell us the coming of Christ is not far away. And I don't know if everybody in this room has made preparation for that day or not. Only you know that. But if there's some that have not, I pray they will this morning and come and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ask your blessing upon the invitation this morning. I pray folks will make decisions today. They'll be glad 100 years from now that they made. Bless the invitation as we go into it now in Jesus' name. Amen.